in this match.
If it's a war, you can say whatever you want.
I thought it was a cult. I didn't know what was going on.
The Fed did. I think New York did.
One of your executive vice presidents loves that company.
It's the first ever finishing move that's exclusive to a promotion.
Advantage.
We are back after a week off, which admittedly was 100% my fault. I had too many commitments that I tried fitting in, and unfortunately I could not. So
followed by my work week of hell.
Yeah.
So there was legitimately no time for us to even meet. But we're back, and you know what? We could use the rest. We've been chugging along every week since the 2 weeks, since Dominion 2018. Am I correct?
Yeah.
So we could use the week off. We didn't go anywhere special because, you know, COVID, but...
And I feel like with just, like, what's going on, there isn't a ton to talk about in the wrestling world that we missed. Mm-hmm. We missed a week of AEW and NXT. That's about...
Two good shows.
Yeah, well, I guess, I don't know. Yeah, they were good shows.
We'll talk about everything, and then we got some weird news. Some Adam Cole... controversy.
Which I feel like happened 8 years
ago. Yeah, it does feel like so long ago, but I think it was legitimately 2 weeks ago today. Tomorrow.
Thursday.
2 weeks ago Thursday?
Yeah.
It's been like 10 days.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That feels like it's 2 years ago.
I know.
Big news that actually broke yesterday morning.
Yeah.
That I'm glad we held off for talking about.
It's the most... Like,
it's the weirdest thing I've ever read in my life.
If this headline happened in any other year, I almost wouldn't believe it. But with everything that's gone on in 2020, I completely believe it.
A bunch of WWE news stuff, a brand new wrestling title, and the war report. So we will see you directly after our ad for Anchor. Two good-looking men telling you about Anchor.
Stay tuned. So kicking off the news this week, New Japan Pro Wrestling announced a new title that is coming to New Japan. It is the KOPW title. It was introduced by Kazuchika Okada.
Okada? Is that his brother?
Well, they have different last names. I doubt it's his brother.
No, isn't... Wouldn't Kazuchika be his last name?
No. Okada is his last name, but in the Japanese culture,
they say the last name first. It's honor their family.
Yeah, okay. It's Okada Kazuchika, but his first name is Kazuchika.
Okay, good.
All right. So the unique title is not actually a title. It is a trophy. So basically, what will happen is the title will be decided across two nights, August 26th in Corrigan and August 29th in the Jinju Stadium, the baseball stadium they're running their big show at instead of Madison Square Garden. So on the 26th, eight wrestlers who have not been announced will compete in four different singles matches. Each competitor will pick a stipulation, and the fans will vote between those stipulations, and that's what the match type will be. And then the four winners of those matches will face off in a fatal four-way to determine the interim KOPW title, which they will defend it throughout the rest of the year. And then in 2021, it resets and the process starts all over. So basically, you can't be the champion more than a year because it resets every year.
I know, fuck it. Why? I'm assuming it's for King of Pro Wrestling?
That's probably what it stands for. They were never really clear in the press conference, but... What do you make of the concept? I mean, it's definitely different.
It's interesting. It's different. It's different from them. It's different for them because they don't try these weird things. But it seems like it's jumping the shark a little. Jesus.
Yeah, this seems like it's straight WWF 1998 or WCW 2000. Just like off-the-wall, bonkers, attitude-era shit. And, you know, like, I'm open to it because if anyone could execute it, it's New Japan. But I'm interested to see where it goes. I kind of see it as a vanity project to give Okada something to do while he's not in the IWGP title picture.
Like, he got
to
be doing something.
He's
the best wrestler on the fucking planet.
Do you realize he's kind of like Brock Lesnar, where like he's never won a title that's not the world title?
Yeah.
Lesnar's the same way. Yeah. Lesnar never won a title. It wasn't
your main event.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying... I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
You want to see Brock Lesnar wrestling for the Intercontinental title?
Actually, I would. I'm not going
to
lie.
Would he have to use the Brock lock?
I would love to see... Well, Big E's using the stretch muffler these days.
I couldn't think of the name of what it is.
Yeah.
But it was the Brock Lock.
When Brock used it, it was the Brock Lock. Commonly known in the wrestling world as the Stretch Muffler, which is a biggie name, if I've ever heard a biggie name.
Yes, which is good, because we're going to talk about him a little later, so.
But, I mean, it's definitely, I'm anxious to see what they do with it. I'm not going to lie, I've kind of been out of New Japan lately, and it's not really because of anything they're doing. It's just, I'm down on 95% of wrestling. Like, I don't know. I'm just not feeling it these days.
It's rough.
Like, even something good, like MJF's promo, I feel like if there was a crowd there, I would have appreciated
it. I still love wrestling as much as I did, but it's
no,
hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to be on the surface liking it, if that makes any sense.
No, I hear you.
Like, my love for wrestling, my connection to wrestling is still there. It's just, ugh, with some of this stuff.
Sometimes these shows feel like chores.
Yes. Although, there isn't really any bad shows.
No, but it's just like, I don't know, it just seems like too sterile.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It's like, everything you love about it is not there.
Yeah, it's like, no, you don't get that instant gratification.
Yeah, that those pops are fantastic.
And like,
that's what brings it.
As hard as it is for like us fans, I can't even imagine how hard it is for the wrestlers to like, because I'm sure fucking getting thrown off a ladder hurts a lot more when there's no one to make a reaction.
Yeah, you're not in the moment. There's no adrenaline running through you.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Personally, I think the rules are very convoluted and a mess, but we'll see how it goes.
You know Yoshihashi's going to win it eventually.
I hope not.
This year's title is going to be Yoshihashi versus Doki.
My favorite stat ever is like, Yoshihashi's never held a title. And like, everybody's held some title in some independent promotion, like, somewhere.
Yes.
Like, even Virgil has, like, 10 championships in, like, all these independent promotions. Yoshihashi has never held a title anywhere. That's my favorite stat of all time.
That is a good stat.
Although, he's teaming with Okada and Toru Yano no, he's not. It's Sho and Toru Yano. He's teaming with Ishii and Goto. So, never mind. I would say he has a chance, but I think Sho, Okada, and Yano have a chance. That's a hell of a trio right there.
It is, but Ishii always wins things, so.
Especially the NEVER titles. Yeah. These are the NEVER six-man titles.
They are made for him.
Yoshihashi may end up being a champion. Although Suzuki's teaming with Doki, and that kind of infuriates me.
So one of them might have a chance.
Yeah, what if if the finals is Hashi's team versus Doki's team? I don't know what I'll do.
But also, there's Ishii and Suzuki in that match.
That is true. I guess I gotta look at the glass half full, so.
Yeah. Rex, speaking of Japan, a person we've got to know over the last 5 years, and if you're into wrestling before that, Kairi Sane, who was, what was her name over there?
Kairi Hojo.
Kairi Hojo?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was Hojo or Hoko, but it was Gojo. Has headed back to Japan, or she has finished her dates with WWE, and you know what? What a good run.
Was it?
And her NXT shit was great.
Well, yeah, but
main roster never really worked out, but it often doesn't.
Yeah, she's off to her next voyage. I get it, you know. She got married, she wants to spend more time with her husband, you know. It's family over everything, and it's not known what she's gonna do. WWE wanted to still have a relationship with her over in Japan, but now with COVID, we don't know what's gonna happen. She may go back wrestle for Stardom. If NXT Japan ever gets off the ground, she may work there. She may be an ambassador for WWE. She may be done wrestling altogether. There hasn't really been any indication of what her next step is. We just know she's going home to spend time with family, and you know, you gotta respect that all the way.
It's not like she left on bad terms or
no. I mean, her last match, she beat arguably the most dominant woman of 2020, Bayley.
Yes.
So she went out on top. Then, of course, her last appearance was getting attacked backstage by said Bayley. But, yeah, Kairi, I guess all things considered, her run was pretty decent. First ever Mae Young Classic winner, NXT Women's Champion, WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, the longest reigning Women's Tag Team Champions. But I have a feeling Sasha and Bayley are going to break that record with this reign. I think it was like 150-some days. And Sasha and Bayley are already at, like, 50. So, I don't know. Maybe the implosion will happen sooner rather than later. But I guess it wasn't a bad run for Kairi. She did a lot.
Pirate ship chest.
It sucks that she never got, like, a real WrestleMania moment. I mean, she was in two of the Battle Royals. But that doesn't really count for anything.
Candace have fun?
Yeah. I understand that reference.
Johnny was so happy for her, but she did not want Johnny to be happy for her.
Johnny was more happy for Kyrie than he was for Candace, and that's his wife. But that's a legendary interview, or the post WrestleMania 35 interview. I believe we missed that entire match because we were too drunk.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think we missed Buddy Buckets winning the Cruiserweight title too. I was pretty bummed about that.
Tamatanga got us fucking.
No, Buddy Buckets lost the Cruiserweight title.
He won in Melbourne.
To Tony Abbs. Yeah, he won in Melbourne.
But yeah, no, Tamatanga got us too drunk.
Yeah, and then Cuda Jr. got us even drunker with espresso vodka. Vincent Van Gogh.
Didn't that dude
have one ear?
I think, yeah, he cut it off himself.
What an artist.
He is.
Second greatest artist only is Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, no, Shinsuke's third.
Although Loomis. Yeah, you're right. But Loomis is a tortured artist, so I don't know if he should be in the same...
But so was Van... You all tortured me to cut off your own fucking ear?
I call that artistic vision.
But he did it to impress a lady.
Was she hot?
Her name was probably Margaret, and she probably had hairy armpits.
Some people think that's hot.
Yeah, maybe Van Gogh was one of them.
Anyway. The
Starry Night is actually... Never mind. But,
anyway, her one true WrestleMania moment was her and Asuka losing the tag titles to Bliss Cross Applesauce.
That's a real thing.
I know. I hate myself every time I say it. I hate myself a little more every time I say it.
I hate you a little more every time you say it, too.
You should. But they lost to them at PC Mania 1 this year. Fun match, by the way. I think that match was a fun little contest. Oh, God, Flair's out here. His head's about to be punted into orbit.
Flair has COVID, and Warren's about to kick his fever away.
And his wife had COVID.
Yeah.
So he probably does have COVID.
But there he is.
Yeah.
Fucking leather skin and all. But,
By the time this comes out, we'll have some incredible news about Shane McMahon and and Raw's Underground Fight Club with the big ninja as a security guard.
What if he just gives him the inaugural champion?
This is going to be such a shit show. Good luck.
Some more tweets are coming through about the people that I trust that I have an inside thing and said stay up because you're not going to miss
it. Big trust.
Good
luck in the next voyage, Kyrie.
Bon voyage.
Yeah.
Up next, it was announced that Daniel Bryan and Edge have joined the writing team.
It wasn't really announced. It was more so leaked.
It was leaked. It was made public.
Well, it wasn't,
that Daniel Bryan and Edge.
It wasn't intentionally made public by them.
Yeah, it wasn't, but it was made public.
Yeah, it was leaked. I think that's the word.
It was leaked. So what do you think of that? I mean, Daniel Bryan, absolutely. And Edge is kind of the best, maybe the best storyline guy in the history of the business.
Yeah, I'd say, we haven't really seen Edge's impact on Raw. I'm not sure how much he's doing now because of the whole tricep deal. I'm sure he's rehabbing every day. So I'm not sure how much he's actually contributing. But, you could tell Daniel Bryan's influence on SmackDown. Yeah. We had a number one contender's Fatal 4-Way match for the IC title with Lince Dorado, Grand Metalik, Drew Gulak, and Shorty G.
Yeah, that's...
And Bruce Pritchard would never do that. That is the most...
That is not a Bruce Pritchard joint.
Those are the four most anti-Bruce Pritchard men I've ever heard of. So you could... And then the Big E singles run.
Yeah, that's absolutely... Because he's been nothing but...
Well...
Complimentary of Big
when
E
he
for
was
years.
When he was on backstage before that show got canned... They asked him, if you could push any two guys, who would it be? And his answer was literally Metalik and Big E. And then it gets leaked that he's out on the creative team. And Metalik and Big E both get shine. I mean, I wouldn't say Metalik's getting a push, but Big E's definitely getting a push.
Big E absolutely is getting a push, and it's well-deserved.
Yeah, absolutely.
He might be the most underrated wrestler on the planet.
Not sure if I go that far. Maybe
Not underrated, but...
Maybe in WWE I'll give you that one, but...
Who would you go elsewhere?
I think Ishii. I don't think Ishii gets nearly enough credit.
You know what? That I think it's one of those two.
I'd say Kushida's in that mix.
Neville?
I don't know. He gets a lot of fanfare in AEW.
Yeah.
I think it's just because we haven't seen him because of COVID in so long that...
But he's in the conversation.
I'll give you that. Yeah, sure.
And also, I would love to see Ishii and him go at it.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Two big men slapping meat.
Yeah, bumping meat. So I'm really happy for Big E, and I hope he continues. And I hope they can keep the New Day together, because I never want them to break up.
Where do you think this push goes? Intercontinental Championship? Dare I say Universal Championship?
I think he gets a match with the big belt.
I think he wins the IC title from AJ. That's where I think it's headed.
Would that be a second or third run?
Second? Yeah.
But first round of last name, though. But
I think he lost his last name
while he was a champion.
Yeah, mid-champion.
Yeah, he did. I think he did, too. But you know what? He's outstanding wrestler. I'm happy to see him stop doing the suicide spear, but good for him. You know that I and honestly, I'm all about new things and singles pushes. They should never break up.
Yeah.
They should never face each other. They're that fucking good together.
So what do you think this says about the direction that WWE's trying to go in? That they'd reach out to guys like Edge and Daniel Bryan and ask them for help in the creative team.
I mean, it's the best of the old and the new, right?
Do you think it's kind of Vince kind of admitting he's a tad out of touch?
Yes. I mean, I think he knows Edge pays attention to the business, and Edge can kind of bring that Vince idea, but mix it to make it modern. Now, that's the trouble Vince has had.
Yeah.
Vince has had the good ideas. He just can't get it done. You know what I'm saying? Vince has the fucking framework. He doesn't have the concrete and the walls and the plywood. But, and Daniel Bryan, wrestling-wise, like, you know my opinion on him. I don't think that you say...
Boy, do I.
I don't think you can say another wrestler is the best wrestler in the world while he's breathing. So, I think it's good. It's definitely not a bad thing.
No, absolutely. At this point, nothing can hurt.
No, I think it's good, because Edge was always involved in the good storylines. You know what I'm saying?
And, like... Edge's promo work in 2020 might be the best promo work of his career. You could tell that, like, the acting has paid off for him.
Yeah.
Because his promos in 2020.
He knows how to deliver.
Yeah.
And he was really good before he did the acting, so.
And like, he's the first guy who, like, in the Empty Arena era who cut a promo and was like, damn, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone was kind of struggling with the Empty Arena promos at first, but, like, Edge made him work. He looked dead in the camera. Which
is understandable.
Yeah, because he was an actor.
And also, I mean, even struggling with them, because you're not playing off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, for sure.
The hell is that?
That's Nia Jax.
I know who that is. Who is that?
A geek?
I think...
Walmart Sam Roberts?
I think Adam Pearce got to get back from COVID.
He was on SmackDown on Friday.
Was he?
Yeah. did you watch SmackDown?
I watched the very last hour of it.
So Sonya Deville had the Clippers. And the only one that wasn't afraid of the Clippers was Adam Pearce, because he's already bald. It was awesome.
That's great. Where's Brutus?
It was awesome. Everyone, all the refs are running away from her with the Clippers, but Adam Pearce is already bald, so he didn't back down.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Adam Pearce wrestled those Clippers away.
Where were we? Oh, Daniel Bryan and Edge.
Yeah.
Great moves, I think. I don't think he could hurt in any way.
Yeah, I tend to agree, you know. Obviously, like, if you believe the internet hearsay, Vince is, like, spiraling out of control trying to fix these ratings.
Well, he should be.
He should be. Absolutely, I agree. I'm just saying. Like,
there's very few people I'm betting against on this planet, and he's one of them.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not betting against him. If he hasn't lost by now, he's never going to.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a good sign when the profits were $43 million and the stock didn't go up because everyone's worried about what's going to happen in 2024 when the TV deals are up. So, I mean, more on that later. But
so I think. I mean, good moves.
Yeah, I think it's a good move.
More like it. And
I mean, there's God bless those two for willing to do it, because yeah. That doesn't seem like a fun job.
They both love the business.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're both in tight enough with Vince that, you know.
Brian and Bree just had their second child. Congratulations, by the way.
Yes, they did. Did they also have it?
Yeah.
So when Nikki had hers, too,
Nikki had hers the 31st, and Brian and Bree had theirs the 1st, so they're a day apart. It's kind of baffling.
Good for them.
Yeah. So congratulations to both couples. So, you know, Brian said, like, when he had the second kid, the contract I'm on is probably my last in the ring.
Yeah.
At least on a full-time basis. So, I mean, creative team could be an actual first step. And the rumor is that these guys, while they're on the creative team, they're allowed to, like, email their ideas. They don't have to go to Stanford every day. So that's a fucking bonus for them.
Edge can stay in Nashville, which by all accounts he loves.
And Brian can stay in Phoenix, yeah. Which by all accounts he loves.
Yeah. So that's good. No travel, especially cut-down travel.
Yeah.
But, and I like I said, I don't think those guys are... I think they're in not inner circle, but can be...
They're definitely two of the guys he trusts.
Yeah. I mean, look what he did with Brian.
If Brian says to push Big E, Vince will be on board.
Yes. Yes, he will.
So, that's that.
Yeah, especially. And I don't know why Vince didn't see Big E in a while. Anyway. But
I think Vince... I don't think it's not necessarily that Vince didn't see anything in Big E. He loves the act.
He sees dollar signs
in the New Day.
Which, you know what? Fair enough.
You know, they've been consistently a top merch seller for 5 years.
If you call them the best faction ever, I'm not arguing too much.
I would argue, just because Evolution has 49 world titles together, I think. But then again, success as a faction.
Like, they've been.
I mean, NWO.
Maybe, like, the most consistent number one act in this company since, like, they started.
They'd definitely be in the conversation. I'll give you that. But, like, NWO and DX have to be in the conversation for what they did for the business.
Yeah.
Obviously, Evolution with their successes for singles competitors. And, like, Evolution really did make Batista and Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Like, if there was no Evolution...
You're not getting the two biggest stars.
You still might get Orton just because of his pedigree. No pun intended. But Dave, I think Dave's still a fucking deacon. You know what I mean? So, Evolution at least made one guy and realistically solidified another as a main eventer.
Yeah.
So, I think they have to be in the conversation. But that's a different conversation for a different time.
We'll break down factions one day.
Yeah, I think we should.
That's fun because we... Tag teams and factions, maybe we'll do an entire show on. Because we had a great tag team conversation at Extreme Rules, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, we did.
But up next, The Rock bought the fucking XFL.
Yeah, that's...
If you smell what the New York Guardians are cooking.
For the steal of $15 million, that's a hell of a price.
It is. You probably made that today.
I mean, it is kind of... Maybe Vince like just didn't want to piss off the shareholders. But the dude just made $43 million. I'm shocked he just didn't buy it back himself. I mean, I don't know how that works with bankruptcy court. Maybe he couldn't buy it back himself.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, that doesn't seem
legal. Yeah, I don't think you can declare bankruptcy and then make $43 million and say, hey, I'm going to buy this back.
Okay.
That might not be how it works. So.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah, that makes more sense. So Dwayne, his ex-wife and business partner Danny Garcia bought the XFL.
What a weird thing.
It's just like, I was just baffled. It's like, if this headline happened in any other year, I wouldn't believe it. But it's only like the fifth most surprising thing in 2020.
What is he going to do with it?
I'd assume bring it back.
Excellent.
I don't know if he's going to keep the same rules, the same teams. Because, like, all the players were, like, let go. They were free to pursue NFL deals. A lot of them got NFL deals. So, like,
you're going to... Matt McGloin's not getting an NFL deal.
Well, I didn't say all of them. I said most of them. So he's pretty much going to have to start from scratch in the player talent pool. I don't... It's just like an episode of Ballers that became real life. Like, honestly, like, it's so fucking weird that The Rock bought the XFL. Like, I don't even know what to say about it. Like, why?
Rock hard.
I guess for the love of football. But it is pretty cool that we have a sports league not only owned by a person of color, but by a woman of color as well. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So The Rock and...
Danny Garcia.
Jerry Garcia. From the Grateful Dead.
Yeah. Yeah, when I think people of color, I think the Grateful Dead.
That's more diverse than Dave Matthews. But, Dave Matthews has a lot of African-Americans in his band.
I was going to say, there's like two of his band
members. Dave Matthews is the only white guy in the Dave Matthews band.
I'll rephrase that even better. His band are the only black people at a Dave Matthews concert.
Oh, it's so true. I've been to nine of them.
What?
I've been to nine of
Why?
Them.
Why?
Because they're fucking great.
Why?
Because they are great. I saw him a bunch of times in Camden. I saw him.
Going to see Dave Matthews in Camden sounds like an awful time. That sounds like a terrible combination of things.
I saw him in Hershey two times. At least I saw him three times up here.
I can't ask why.
It's a great... Did you ever see Warehouse Live? It's fucking phenomenal.
No, I didn't.
Fucking phenomenal.
But anyway, so do you think the XFL will be successful?
No. No.
I mean, they were doing well before the pandemic.
Yeah, they were, but I don't think they can build it back up. I hope they can.
It is quite the challenge.
Yeah.
I think it would take at least another 2 years to get back on the field.
Yeah, try it. You know what? Good for them.
But I mean, if you got that type of money... And $15 million.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is literally...
The highest paid actor in the world.
Yeah, but he's also the American dream.
Yeah.
He played college football. He got a scholarship. He had $7. Moved in with Mark Henry. Became the biggest star in the biggest entertainment business at the time. Left to go to another entertainment business and is now the biggest star in that. And he makes a ridiculous amount of money.
And don't forget, in the middle of that, came back, had the two highest grossing WrestleManias of all time with John Cena. Like, the dude has made some coin in his day.
He did, and good for him, because he's really good, and by all accounts, a good guy.
So, like, if you're The Rock, and, like, you have literally millions and millions and millions of dollars to burn, why not risk $15 million and, you know, see what you can do with it, you know?
Yeah, he probably made it today.
What's the worst that happens? It fails?
All they need is another race to Witch Mountain. They'll make it back. Like, it's just...
The Rockies.
You know he signed on for like 11 more Fast and Furious movies. So
it's him and Vin Diesel to the day they die.
they'll be fucking, what was it? Something in Cobbs.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Something in Cobbs. With Idris Elba, for some reason, is the bad guy.
Idris Elba.
Yeah. Why is he the bad guy? Did you notice the bad guy always becomes the good guy in the next movie?
Yeah, like at the end of 9, like if you skip like 3 Fast and Furious movies, which you're not missing any of them because they're all fucking terrible.
They make so much money though. They make
so much money.
Why?
There's not a Fast and Furious 2 is a good movie.
Stop it.
At best, it's watchable, and all the other ones are awful.
Dude, the first scene of Tokyo Drift is fucking Bow Wow for some reason in a pimped out Nissan. Those movies confuse me.
But there's going to be fucking Hobbs and Shaw. There's going to be Hobbs and Diesel. I think they're bringing in Drax from the MCU. And it's going to be Dave and The Rock going around.
There's going to be Hobbs and Joe on Hawaii.
Yes. There's going to be the entire Anahuahi dynasty. The Samoan
clan.
The entire Anahuahi dynasty.
They're going to CGI Umagan.
Yeah. And fucking
Umagan and Paul Walker CGI'd.
Rikishi's going to drive up a building in a fucking Ford F-150. Because if you've seen the last one, they drive up a goddamn building. Up.
I think, was it Fast 5 with the fucking ramp car? There's been some ridiculous shit in these movies.
Yes, but they're awful. But back to what I said about the bad guy being the good guy. Cobb's the bad guy in 5. And 6, and by the end of 7...
He made a face turn.
He fucking turned face.
He turned face,
and he's sharing, breaking bread with Vin Diesel. Yeah. He's trying to kill him on several occasions. Yeah. And now, like, he's in the family. This is like the fucking Heenan family all over again.
Vin Diesel's in the fucking Fast franchise and the XXX franchise. I'm not sure which is worse.
XXX, it's bad. It's bad. It's real fucking bad. It's like Fast and Furious... But with only Vin Diesel and not The Rock.
Do you think XXX is a Ponzi scheme to get in the Fast series?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's that other shit?
Remember the one scene in XXX where he jumps out of a fucking airplane and starts skiing? Like, he's fucking D.P. Cooper turns right into Lindsey Vonn and he just fucking comes down.
D.P. Cooper? I haven't heard that name in years. That dude's a fucking genius, dude. How'd he get away with all that money?
He didn't get away. He died.
Oh, don't ruin
the mystique. His parachute never opened.
Don't ruin the mystique.
Fucking asshole. I'm all fired up. Fucking goggles. I hate those Fast and Furious movies. You can come up to me and say the Earth is flat, and I will have respect, more respect for you than if you say you're a fan of the Fast and Furious. Because that means you drive a Ford F-150, lifted the holy high hell, and you have a Salt Life sticker. As R-Truth's one away, they're shelling! Oh my god, this is ridiculous. We're fucking punchy, we're punchy.
Well, you know,
I think I'm seeing a robot again, but...
Well, you know a female we both went to prom with loves the Fast franchise.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're absolutely terrible.
I want to see XXX Vin Diesel fight to death with Fast Vin Diesel.
No, I want to see XXX Vin Diesel tag team with Fast Vin Diesel versus The Rock from Jumanji. Oh,
and I thought you were the Tooth Fairy.
And you can't handle the tooth.
The Rock went from being in every shitty Disney movie to being in every shitty action movie.
The game plan is amazing.
Game plan's alright.
Although none of the Fast and Furious are Rock's worst movie.
What's his worst movie?
Did you ever see, I think it's called Skyscraper.
Oh, I know what you're talking. I know what you're talking about.
Helen Keller hated that movie.
I know what you're talking.
I think it's called Skyscraper. It was goddamn awful.
What else is he in? He was in San Andreas.
That's it. Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one. You're talking about. With
that's
the one. Right?
San Andreas.
With the earthquake.
It's awful. It's such a bad fucking movie.
It's a whole movie better than Earthquake. John Tenta.
Big Dave is so much better of an actor than him.
Oh, do you mean in general or in that movie?
Is he in that movie?
No, I'm just saying, like, do you mean...
No, in
do
general.
You mean Big Dave is a better actor than The Rock in San Andreas or The Rock total?
No. I'm a better actor than The Rock in San Andreas.
I don't think that movie is The Rock's fault. It sucks.
No, it's not, but he just does all these cheesy-ass movies.
He's saving the people from an earthquake. John Tent is running wild in the city of Los Angeles, and someone needs to be there to save the day.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh... We haven't had this much energy in a show in a while.
and who would have thought it'd be Vin Diesel that brought it to us?
Oh, my God. No, yeah. In general...
This shows the state of wrestling right now.
Dave Bautista is a better actor than Dwayne Johnson.
That's a bold statement.
He is. Drax is phenomenal. He was great in Stuber.
Like, did you see My Spy?
Hysterically funny. I didn't, but I wanted to.
I didn't see My Spy either.
And he's a Bond villain.
He is a Bond villain.
That's like, he's a very, very good actor. Where the fuck? That conversation started with Daniel Bryan in it. No,
we're talking with Rock buying the XFL.
Yes, the Rock bought the XFL.
Wait, is Vin Diesel going to play quarterback for the Tampa Bay Vipers?
Oh, my God.
Let's think of all the Rock's shitty connections he had to play in the XFL.
They're going to make a movie about the Rock, and Paul Walker's going to play the Undertaker.
Oh, my God. That was uncalled for.
That was
They made a whole Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth song about him.
I hate that song. That is the worst song of all time. I don't know how anybody else.
No, the worst song of all time is the radio edit where they take Wiz Khalifa out. That's the worst song of all time. When it's just Charlie Puth.
I hate that song.
It's been a long day without you, my friend.
I hate it. I want to punch things. I heard that in the Disney store one thing. I thought I one time in the Philadelphia Premium Outlets.
The Disney store.
I was with
store.
A friend who had a loaded gun. That song was on, and I wanted to go nuts. All right.
You said my friends are crazy.
Well, this is a person you know very well.
I know. I don't even need to know the name. I know who you're talking about.
Yes. But, oh, Jesus Christ.
You know, SummerSlam is brought to you by World of Tanks.
Matt Cardona showed up in AEW.
Yeah, he did.
I think the... Oh,
my God.
Oh, I like this live recording kind of style here.
See, you can see Matt the TV Cardona, I can't, so I see your reactions. I see a Tozawa in mid-ninja pose.
I think Matt Cardona would have gotten the same reaction if there was fans there.
Have you watched his R-Truth's game show?
No.
You're wrong, because AEW will pop for anybody.
That's true.
You know what? They get the narrative about signing every ex-WWE person, and we'll get into one of those I agree with later in the show, but this is a good signing. The dude got himself over.
Like, yeah, no, he's good. He's also like, I'm okay. Because, like, nepotism's okay if it's, like, legit your best friend. They are legitimately best friends.
Yeah. What I don't want is, you know what, we should save the storyline stuff for when we talk about AEW. But let's just talk about his contract. He only signed a 5-appearance deal. What do you make of this? You think it was the right move
for
him?
It's a genius move, and I think we both agree. He's never been on the indies in his life. He'll make a ton of money.
Well, I mean, when he was, like, 17, he was. But, like, as a...
As an established professional wrestler. But I do have to say, he got in the car from Stanford, drove to Jacksonville, and somewhere along the way, stopped for gas. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you stop. He's always been in really good shape.
This doesn't mean he's in good shape. He's gigantic.
I mean, Brian Cage is on that roster, so they can't have a wellness policy. I'll just leave it at that.
That's true enough. That's true, too. Is he that short?
Tozawa? Yeah.
Or is Benjamin bigger than I thought he was?
No, I think Tozawa's like 5'8", 5'9".
Oh, man, I love Tozawa.
So do I.
But, you know, I think
I don't know if I hate him as a ninja or love him as a ninja.
I think he might make more money as soon as the indies come back than he would in WWE.
Oh, no doubt. There's no way he was on a big contract
there. He's a 10 grand appearance.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
You know?
And, dude, the merch that dude will move, and, like, with his podcast, and, like it's... Dude, that podcast, I don't know if you, like, ever been on their pro wrestling tees. They merchandise everything. They have shot glasses. They have, like, their own figures at Ringside Collectibles.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know either. We need to do an in-depth investigation and, like, discover the identity of all the ninjas.
Okay. Oh, my God, it was Stoke and he got killed.
Was it Stoke?
He got killed. Oh. Is it Stoke? He might be white. I'm sorry. But, I don't know what's going on.
That guy's black. That might be Stoke.
But, Nelson!
I think that's Stoke. I think MVP's mugging Stoke. I think MVP just ended Stoke's life. Oh. Oh.
All right, let's... Oh.
Ah. Yes!
There was a new 24/7 champion. That was the most air I've ever seen him get.
He gets a shit ton of air.
He does, he stops. He's the Michael Jordan of the senton. But,
I love that man.
Yeah, so he'll get a ton of money on the indies. We'll get the storyline stuff when we talk about the War Report.
He led a faction that Ricochet and Apollo was in. You talk about being a faction leader. How about Akira Tozawa leading a faction with Ricochet and Apollo?
Oh, man. I don't get it.
All right, what's next?
Payback.
Yeah, so August 30th, the week after SummerSlam, WWE announced a special. We talked about this about a month ago, speculating it might be Evolution 2. Turns out it's not Evolution 2, and WWE's getting payback on your asses. What do you... Oh!
Oh my god. Pause this right now.
So we apologize for the abrupt ending to the news, but we just got introduced to the Shane McMahon Fight Club, and it starts at 10 p.m., and we were starting this recording at 9:34 p.m., so we're going to power through the war report so we can see the Shane McMahon Fight Club. So, as always, let us start with All Elite Wrestling AEW.
For no reason but alphabetical.
So, the opener, a 10-man tag team match, Best Friends in Jurassic Express take on the Inner Circle.
Exactly what you expect it to be.
So babyface team in control early. They all wipe out Jericho and crew with dives. Guevara breaks up a mid-match hug, but pays for it. Jake Hager eventually gets the heat on Trent. Poor Trent got his ass beat during this match. All five heels work over Trent. Out of all the people to get the heat, why poor Trent? Trent, I love Trent. He has so much talent. But Trent makes a comeback. It's a hot tag to Luchasaurus. Hits Guevara with a lariat. Hager knocked Luchasaurus' mask off, which I don't think was supposed to happen. Taz had a great line.
I think it broke.
Taz had a great line on the commentary who said his face fell off. Taz is awesome.
Over and over, his face fell off.
I love Taz.
He's you know what? Taz is fucking great there.
He is.
He's great there.
He is.
His promo work with Cage is outstanding, and he's a great commentator. So
Guevara looked to put Luchasaurus away, but a wild Matt Hardy appeared, shoved him off the top rope. But Hardy did have a great tweet later in the week.
Pushing young talent.
He tweeted the picture and said, I love to push young talent. That's a great tweet.
Sammy's back, by the way. We know we missed a week, but...
Yeah. And rightfully so. I think his penance was served.
Yes, and just don't be an idiot.
Be a star.
Yeah, don't be an idiot going forward.
So, Luchasaurus got the win for the babyfaces. If you like your 10-man tags, you like this. I thought this was fun.
Yeah, it was fun, but it's... Doesn't mean anything. It was good opener.
TNT Championship on the line.
I would have opened with this.
The one everyone wanted to see. Warhorse taking on Cody for the TNT Championship. Cody was overconfident in this one. He teased the chop, but he instead patted Warhorse on the chest. The ruler of ass answered with a chop of his own and a roll up for a near count as Arn chastised Cody for not taking this more seriously. Warhorse goaded Cody into running the ropes and then hit him with a monster lariat. Cody with a big superplex and hit some push-ups as this teased heel turn continues. He applied the figure four, Warhorse reversed the pressure. Warhorse was going for a top rope double stomp, but Cody rolled to the floor. Warhorse instead stomped to the back of Cody on the floor. Looked nasty. Late in the match, Warhorse went for another double stomp, but he jammed the knee that the figure four worked over earlier. Cody took advantage, got the submission in the figure four. After the match, the Dark Order attacked Cody. Arn teased like he was going to make the save, but instead Matt Cardona made his AEW debut and made the save. And they signed Cardona and Cody versus the Dark Order for next week. So now we can very briefly talk about Cardona's storyline stuff. I'll say this and leave it at this. I hope this isn't a repeat of Sean Spears where he immediately turns on Cody and they have a match all out.
If they do, it's bullshit.
I fear that that's what it's going to be.
If they do, you're not going to like our tweets for like 5 days.
I hope they're smarter than that. I think they're smarter than that. But part of me thinks that this could be where it's going.
Yeah.
But I'm happy for Matt Cardona. Like, he legitimately deserves a shot somewhere.
He does. He could be, like, if he goes to Impact, he could easily be the world title.
He's
world title holder.
He's got himself over so much in WWE and he got punished for it, which is bullshit, but... I will say, I don't really get Warhorse. I don't dislike him. I know everyone on the internet loves him.
Yeah,
and Danhausen.
I'm with you, too.
I don't dislike either of them. I just don't get it. Maybe because I don't like heavy metal. I don't know. But it's just not my thing. I thought he was good in the ring. I thought he had a good showing. The people are saying that Cody's burying everybody with these open challenges are fucking idiots.
That's not necessarily true at all, anyway.
No, it's not true at all. Look at what it did for Eddie Kingston. It got the dude a fucking contract that's well-deserved. But anyway, Cody got the win. They teased the slow burn heel turn. I didn't even mean to make a rhyme there, but I did. And we'll see where they go with Cardona. Although it could be Cody turning on Cardona this time because they keep teasing the heel
yeah, turn. Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, at least just don't repeat the Sean Spears thing. That didn't work out well for anybody involved. All right, moving on. Tag title match. Kenny Omega and Paige versus Grayson and Uno. Evil Uno has slimmed the fuck up.
He looks good.
He does. This is the debut of Anna Jay as a member of the Dark Order. I don't want to compare the Dark Order to the NWO, but they're getting a little bloated, much like the NWO. I was trying to see if you were gonna see where I was going there, if you were gonna chastise me.
You're getting a little bloated. They were a little bloated. Then they lost some of the
blood. Stop it. Stop it.
Okay.
Although Anna Jay is a fine addition to the Dark Order. It looks like she raided the closet and got the bunny's outfit, which I'm perfectly okay with. She's talented though. I hope we see more of her.
Me too.
So Paige jumped Uno and Grayson before the bell. Omega was still doing his entrance. I guess he was mad because he couldn't finish his entrance, which is a weird thing for a babyface to be mad about. Your favorite referee, Rick Knox, was in charge. The champions had the advantage early, but then Evil Uno downed Paige and got control. Used joint manipulation, targets the right hand of Hangman. The heels cut the ring off and isolate him. At one point, Omega sent Grayson in the corner, but instead he soared over the ring post and onto Paige. Uno capitalized and nearly picked up the win. A corner cannonball, I know your favorite move, and then a 450 by Grayson nearly caught them the titles. Omega a snap dragon. Paige hit Grayson with a lariat, and then they hit the combination buckshot V-trigger last call to get the win for the champions. After the match, Lee ordered Cabana and Anna Jay to the back before attacking Uno and Grayson. He hit Uno with papers. Uno took a bump. I laughed.
I love when it hits Uno with things.
Yeah, I know. So do I. Dark Order surround the ring. Lee says Paige pissed him off for the last time. The Young Bucks and FTR make the save with styrofoam coolers. And that's the result. Paige and Omega retain. Think everyone saw it coming. It was fine.
Yeah.
Shida versus Diamante. Shida won with a knee.
It was fine. Whatever.
Shida won with a knee.
Yep.
MJF, State of the Industry Address. This was awesome.
Best thing on both shows.
He implored the audience to use hashtag MJF2020 and hashtag not my champion. He cut a promo saying that Jon Moxley's a dictator, and he says that he can't do whatever he wants just because he came from the land of the Titans, which is a good line. He accused him of cosplaying Stone Cold. He's obviously listening to Jim Cornette's show. He claimed he's a better ratings draw. He added war, famine, and global warming to the things that Moxley has caused. MJF said he will not stop until AEW is the pinnacle of sports entertainment, and he challenged Moxley for the title at All Out. I didn't do this justice. MJF delivered.
Watch it. Just watch
MJF
it.
MJF delivered about 40 times better than me, and yeah, this promo kicked ass.
He's absolutely phenomenal. The best thing on either show.
So, main event. I guess before we get there was a backstage segment with Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero. Nyla Rose draws the purple ball, and then the interviewer says, but Nyla, someone else already drew the purple ball, and I cannot believe what happened next. Cameron was on my favorite TV. Was on my TV screen. She, of course, is a Funkadactyl, and before that was on Tough Enough when Stone Cold asked her what her favorite match is, and she replied with Melina versus Alicia Fox.
Oh, my God.
And Stone Cold looked like he wanted to beat her ass on the spot.
Stone Cold wished he could squish spots with Chris Benoit at that time.
Oh, no. But, so, I generally dislike the AEW signs too many ex-WWE people narrative, but this one was.
She's done nothing else anywhere else.
She legitimately hasn't been wrestled since she got released from WWE. I think they just needed girls for this tournament. I know you're against this tournament. I think this tournament could be a good thing because a lot of the women on the roster that aren't hurt right now are green as goose shit, and them getting more in ring time and more camera time could only be a good thing. I will say, however, this whole tournament is just a vehicle to get Brandy and Allie over. This is a waste of time. I hope the idea really is to showcase all these women and get them more screen time because I think it'd do some good. And people want them to focus on their women's division, and it appears they're at least trying, so I give them credit.
Yeah, no, you know what? If it works, it works. I just don't think it's a great idea.
Main event, Tornado Tag Team match. Jon Moxley makes his way to the ring. Then Darby Allin's music hits, but he's nowhere to be found. They cut to the back where Cage, Taz, and Ricky Starks are cutting a promo. Starks cut a great promo, and Taz also had a great line where he said, Cage, get in front of me before people get mad.
Yeah, excellent shit.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. So then the trio of, my favorite trio perhaps, of Taz, Cage, and Ricky Starks make their way to the ring when Darby Allin jumps off of the entrance screen, wiping them out. So the battle starts. They get the upper hand. They beat Moxley 2-on-1. Then they beat Darby 2-on-1. Moxley eventually makes the save, babyface comeback. Allin breaks up a pin, only to endure a beating from Starks. They hit a coffin drop DDT combo that nearly got the W. Then Darby Allin produced a skateboard that had tacks on it. He jumped and landed on Stark's back, but then the board scraped all the way down Stark's back. That looked like a bad time.
Yeah, that looked like it hurt so fucking bad.
That looked like a really bad time. Thumbtack spots 2 weeks in a row. I'm not really a fan of thumbtacks, but... Nope.
But this would be good if everything else wasn't also this.
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound like Jim Cornette, but he's right in that thing.
That was enough to get them the win. I'm sure it was, because that looked like it sucked. Allin and Moxley celebrated. Allin stared Moxley down. And then as it faded to black, Tony Schiavone announced that next week it'll be Moxley versus Allin for the AEW Championship. So this is kind of one of my main gripes with AEW. Why do the MJF promo and then announce Moxley versus Allin for the title? I mean, I don't think anyone thought Darby Allin was winning the title next week. But now after this MJF promo, we know Darby Allin is winning the title next week. So
like, yeah.
I don't know.
And he's also fifth in the rankings. So the rankings mean nothing.
Stop it.
Am I wrong?
You don't watch UFC, but sometimes the fifth ranked fighter gets a title shot. It's not concrete. You know what I mean? Like sometimes the fucking third ranked fighter will get a title shot instead of the first ranked fighter. And that's AEW for the week. So we'll be right back to talk about NXT, and then we'll give our MVPs and whatnot. So stay tuned. Now, NXT, also on July 29th, 2020. The opener, Tegan Nox and Io Shirai take on Dakota Kai and Candice LeRae. So as Shirai is making her entrance, Kai attacked her from behind. Nox and LeRae also join in on the fight. Referee calls for the bell. Match gets underway. Nox and LeRae start. Candice gets the advantage. They both make tags at the same time. Dakota Kai gets the advantage on Shirai. She and LeRae kept Shirai cornered with quick tags and double team moves. We go to a break. We come back. The babyfaces finally start to hit momentum. Shirai hits a combo of kicks before dropping Kai with a German suplex. Nox tags in, hits the shiniest wizard on LeRae before Shirai hits her with a moonsault for the win. I like the match. I thought the wrong team won. If you're supposedly building up Kai as the next challenger, she should have got the win over Nox, but what do I know? Johnny Gargano taking on Roderick Strong. A rare heel versus heel matchup, but they wrestled like two babyfaces. This match kicked ass. I just didn't understand it from a character standpoint. So Roddy gets the advantage early. They trade near falls. They come to a stalemate, shove each other a few times. Then Strong hits a backbreaker to escape an abdominal stretch. He chops Gargano. More backbreakers. Gargano hits the one final beat, kind of out of nowhere, for the win. Smash was awesome, but don't get what they're going for with both men as heel. Unless Undisputed Era is turning babyface, which
I think it might happen.
Is potentially the direction they're going in, as we'll get to later on, but that's also weird with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Shotzi Blackheart taking on Mercedes Martinez. Blackheart got the advantage early. Stone provided a distraction. Mercedes takes over. Shotzi with a dropkick and a sunset bomb for a two count. Mercedes does not get pinned. Mercedes says a release German from the top turnbuckle, and she hits her finish and gets the win over Shotzi. Big fan of both women. Little short, but I don't know. I'll take it.
It was the worst thing in the show, and it wasn't bad.
Martinez being with Stone and Aaliyah makes Aaliyah more tolerable. And you know me, if she's usually on the show, I pick AEW as a better show. But adding Mercedes to the mix makes it more tolerable for sure. So moving on. Keith Lee is out for a promo. I love this promo. I've been super critical of Keith Lee's promos, but this kicked ass. He said Dijakovic is a grown man who can handle his own business, but he's still pissed off about what Cross did last week. He said Cross has his attention now, but then it's grime time, baby. Cameron Grimes came out.
This might have been Lee's best promo of his life.
Oh, I agree 100%. Grimes came out and... I'm sorry, Fight Club is back on. Grimes came out.
Don't!
What in the hell? We have strippers, folks. We have strippers on the PG Monday Night Raw. And we have an African-American man knocked the fuck out. Oh my God, we gotta finish this review so he can get to Raw Underground. Jeez, I hope this is good. Cameron Grimes says he wants the NXT title. Lee drug him to the ring by his neck. And the lights went out. Scarlett appeared on stage. She stared at Lee, and then Grimes tried to attack Lee one more time. Lee powerbombed the fuck out of him before Cross appeared on the big screen, and he taunted him, and he gave Lee an ultimatum. He said, give him a shot at the title, or he'll find out the hard way, and promised all of his friends will suffer. Lee accepted the challenge. This promo kicked ass. Cameron Grimes kicked ass. I hate that he was kind of jobbed out here.
Yeah, but he's the kind of character that's going to happen.
Yeah, he's just so over the top and wacky. I'd love to see them have a real match. I think they'd be great together.
But it's okay if he gets beat up, because that's what he's there for.
Up next, a match with two of my favorite teams on this planet Earth. We have Imperium taking on our new favorite tag team in the world, Ever Rise. Chase Parker, Matt Martell, especially Matt Martell. A-plus talents. They were in a tag team situation, and they still weren't ready.
I mean, it's better than the Giannetti of the Funkadactyl showing up at the other show.
Stop it. Bartel and Martell. Boy, that's confusing. Bartel and Martell start for their teams, and the announcers had some fun, as I did, with rhyming their names. They had a good technical exchange. I'm telling you, Matt Martell's the future of this business.
He is.
The tag champs pretty much squashed them out. They hit the European bomb and got the 1-2-3. They celebrate, but the Undisputed Era, including a returning Kyle O'Reilly, great to see KOR back, they clean Imperium's clock. And it's announced that next week, Fish and O'Reilly will attempt to become four-time NXT Tag Team Champions, so we'll see what happens there. Up next, probably, this might be bold of me to say, but the best match in either show.
Absolutely.
Isaiah Swerve Scott taking on Jake Atlas. This match kicked ass.
Good shit.
Purple ropes forever. They started with quick counters. They saw Atlas get an offense. Swerve was able to get a near fall. They go to commercial. Atlas hits a springboard blockbuster for a near fall. He came close to winning with that weird headlock DDT that Dean Ambrose used to do. And Bayley does now, I think.
I think Mick Foley used it at one point, too.
Well, Mick Foley used the dirty deeds. He used the dirty deeds. This is like the weird headlock driver. It was Ambrose's first finisher. But then he tried it on Kane, and it didn't go well. So he switched to the
dirty deeds. No, it was Randy Orton, wasn't it?
It was someone that was way too tall.
Yeah, I think it was Randy Orton. He said
it might have been Orton who told him not to do it.
It looks stupid if you do it with somebody tall.
Yeah. Which I guess it does.
Yeah. Because it makes no physical sense.
Yeah. So eventually Scott got the win with his JML driver. Great match. I thought this match kicked ass. Cruiserweight division is awesome. Where the fuck's Kushida? That's my only question.
Could be trapped somewhere.
Maybe he's COVID. Maybe he's hurt. Who knows? He lives in Florida, so I don't think he's trapped anywhere. Finn Balor, Loomis, Thatcher, main event winner, qualifies for the ladder match. Loomis stood completely still in his corner like a boss while Balor and Thatcher locked up. The artist then threw them both out of the ring and then did a flip over the top rope, which clearly wasn't edited at all. Loomis clearly landed it first try. No, they edited it, which sucks, but still impressive for a man that size to do. The finish of this match was awesome. Loomis had his choke locked in on Thatcher, but then Balor hit the stomp on Loomis, but he hurt his leg. Then Thatcher locked in a leg lock on Balor, but then Loomis snuck up behind Thatcher, put him in his choke, and got the win and is moving on to the ladder match.
It was a great finish.
I do think it's kind of weird to have the submission expert tap out, but I guess they don't want to beat Balor either. I don't know. Just weird. I do like what they're doing with the ladder match. It seems like they're actually going to try to establish some new stars. We got Bronson Reed in there. We got now we got Dexter Loomis in there, and we either have Priest Lorcan or what's his name?
Bronson Reed.
No,
Ridge Holland.
Ridge Holland. Thank you.
Rugby. And is that the last one?
No, there's five. Oh, so Jesus, we still have two Christ. More.
It's a lot of three ways.
Yeah, three ways to qualify for a five way. Putting a hat on a hat.
NXT had the better show, top to bottom. AEW MVPs. MJF, because nothing else touched that. Johnny Gargano is the NXT MVP, because when he said that he'd love to be pregnant, so Candice can sit home, is phenomenal.
Overall MVP?
Swerve.
All right, I am going MJF, Swerve, and Keith Lee is my overall. NXT is the better show, and we will be right back with the outro, so thank you for listening.
Thank you, as always, for listening to the Champions Advantage podcast. We're at Tuesdays at noon for now. That's at ChampionsPod at Twitter. Make sure you follow Top of the Rope Wrestling Radio at Kuda _Junior. It's our boy Gil, the Midwestern Man of Steel. And on Wednesdays, we have Chris Panero at Bearded Chris P. It was much easier pronounced than his old tag. And then make sure you follow at Ron_Musto_Jr. and at LindsayBeHonestX. There are other two crew members here at Turnbuckle Topics. Make sure you follow the entire network at TT_4U. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
Long live Dabakato!